Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
And so, the rebuilding begins, but first comes the cleanup. What are they going to do with the hundreds of thousands of homes destroyed in the rage of the hurricanes? There is a great business opportunity that turns the cleanup and the rebuilding into a sustainable, profitable, appropriate effort. It's coming up for you when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wildside News. I have been staggered by the images of the wreckage, of the homes torn into their parts, the rafters and roofs and windows and doors heaped into massive opportunities to do the right thing. Here's where a lot of progress can begin. And it's a great business opportunity for people all across America.
Recently, the images from the results of the Katrina and now Rita have shocked me when I see piles and piles and piles and piles of lumber and homes and doors and windows and everything just as debris, supposedly from the storm. And it bothers me to think that all of that could be salvaged, portions of that could be salvaged and used, as opposed to being bulldozed into big piles and then just, we have no idea what. I'm talking with a guy who actually understands a lot of this, and it's Jim Shulman, who's with a. Why don't you talk about your company, first of all?
Sure. I'm with Community Forklift, a surplus and salvage building materials store located in suburban Washington, D.C. We're a brand new startup, but we're modeled after stores like The Loading Dock and many others around the country that have been around for a while, operating on the principle that one person's trash is another person's treasure. And so what we do is take donations of building materials, things that are stored in people's attics or basements that they're never really going to use, but they can't bear to throw away, and we resell them very affordably at half the price of Home Depot to people who can use them. And this is renovation contractors, homeowners, facility managers, cabinet making companies, you name it. So the opportunity is there, certainly, with storm debris to take that sow's ear and turn it into a silk purse. The challenge is that when there's a storm, people want to recover quickly. And so it takes some planning and forethought not to just do the wrong thing and bulldoze and burn. But apparently FEMA has taken an interest in this relatively recently. They're getting some advice from members of the Used Building Materials Association, which is now called the Building Materials Recovery Coalition, in order to be able to do this.
One of the points that you make is the fact that it is possible, because there is going to be an abundance of materials conceivably available if this were actually utilized, and that is to salvage this and then provide a place for people to buy it. There could be a lot of this available, and it is a way for people to actually set up a shop and start to market some of this and sell it.
Yep. People have established these ReStores, which is the Habitat for Humanity moniker for this type of facility, facilities like ours that are for-profits, they're non-profits, in general selling surplus and salvaged building materials all over the country. And some of them have even started in the back end of a cafe. One of the limiting factors has been growth. These businesses have shown to double in size every year consecutively for 5 years. So the bane of a lot of the startups has been not having enough warehouse space. And so we made a point to find a 40,000 square foot warehouse from the get-go and open up and not have to worry about having to move for a few years at least. And so that's something I would recommend to anybody who's living in a community that doesn't have a surplus and salvage building materials store and you want to get into this business. Find an empty barn or a cheap government building that's underutilized. We know for a fact that people in Baltimore, for instance, the Loading Dock, was actually given their building by the, Baltimore, and that's allowed them to be very profitable for 22 or 23 years running.
So where do you get your materials from?
About 50% of the materials we have in our inventory right now come from deconstruction projects. These are actually situations where homeowners have hired, instead of a demolition company, they've hired a deconstruction company to hand dismantle their homes. It takes a little bit longer, but if you include the tax deduction that people can get by donating the materials to a store like ours, it actually can cost less than hiring somebody to bulldoze their house and make a real mess. One of the nice things about a deconstruction site is they're incredibly clean. We're talking, you couldn't believe that a building had been taken down at some of these sites. And so they're naturally just healthier for people. A lot of the debris and dust is not in the air for us to breathe, including all that lead paint and PCBs and mercury that ordinarily are not removed from buildings in many jurisdictions before they get demolished.
What kind of stuff are you looking for? What doesn't work for you?
Well, at our store, we've made a decision not to handle furnishings, furniture. The Washington area is awash in office furniture. But other stores around the country have done very well with furniture. It's just our choice to stay away from that. We do accept donations of appliances if they're in working order and are relatively new, young. Appliances so that they're relatively efficient, because we don't want being purveyors of a green business, we wouldn't feel right about pushing inefficient appliances on people.
Well, for example, doors, windows, wood,
yes,
paneling, and then some stuff I'm curious about. For example, tin roofing and stuff. Can you recycle stuff like that? What kind of in the building materials realm, what works and what doesn't
work?
Well,
anything that cannot be reused can and should be recycled. That's not our business per se, although we do have recycling bins at our facility. But in general, we handle any materials that have some life left in them for reuse. And in the long run, we really want to get into remanufacturing, because actually that's where a lot of hidden capital is for communities to be able to create jobs. Eventually, we look to find those materials that we have trouble selling, those products that maybe don't have much resale value, and figure out ways to remanufacture them into something that has higher value. And the best example of this I've come across is the Winnipeg Restore in Manitoba, Canada, takes window glass from single-pane windows and frosts it and inlays it into lacquered boards and sells them very expensively as chessboards.
Yeah. Actually, a fun aspect of this, too, is if people are in sort of historical zones, some of those doors and other pieces actually have terrific value from almost as antiques.
Oh, yes.
The five panel and the six panel and the odd doors and things like that.
Right. Many restores and surplus and salvage places focus on what you're calling architectural artifacts. Our focus is actually not in that direction. Our mission is to provide staple building materials, lumber, bricks, doors, windows, very affordably for people who may not be able to afford a new door at all. But included in our inventory, just because we're in a historic city of Washington, D.C., we have quite a few items that would satisfy the Historic Preservation Review Board's requirements.
Well, it's interesting because you get a little book and you find out about this stuff, and the next thing you know, you got a doorknob that's worth $150, you know, as opposed to $2.
We had an auction at our facility a few weeks ago. It was an auction of items removed from the Pentagon, part of the reconstruction of Wedge 3 of the Pentagon. And some community forklift, our store, inherited some of the doors and other items that were left over that didn't sell at the auction. And so if anybody who hears this is interested and wants to come and buy a really, really solid, large, beautiful door from the Pentagon, some of which have handicap hardware and all kinds of interesting combination locks, come check us out.
Do you have a website?
Yes, it's very simple. It's www.communityforklift.com.
Would you invite inquiries from people who may be interested in starting their own business? Do you have time to talk with a few people?
Absolutely. People could call Jim Shulman, that's me, at 301-985-5180.
Fabulous. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sydney.
And when it's time to take a break from all the hard work and maybe take a little vacation, ecotourism just may be more important now than ever before. When we return, you'll learn all about it here on your Voice of the Earth, the Wild Side News.